Coming up on Avant Technology Insights with Ken Presti.
Hosted is the way to go because you can actually spin on a dime and you can make those changes and you can be up and running in no time.
Today we're going to be looking at CCaaS or a contact center as a service from a 360 degree point of view because our guest, who currently represents a well-known CCaaS vendor, has also been active on the customer side of the transaction as well. We'll talk about how CCaaS and Unified Communications as a Service are growing together. We'll talk about the implications of multi-channel versus omni-channel. We'll talk about staffing decisions in a CCaaS environment, and just for the heck of it, we'll find out why screaming, "Representative! Representative!" might not get you to someone with an actual pulse. All this and more coming up in just a moment. Welcome to Avant Technology Insights. I'm your host, Ken Presti, Research Vice President of Avant Research and Analytics. The link between solving business challenges and cutting-edge technologies has become tighter and more complex than ever before. In this podcast series from Avant Research and Analytics, we help enterprise decision makers sort through the business case, the value, the challenges, and ultimately the bottom line of technology adoption. So listen to us at your desktop, take us in the car, tune in from the commuter train, or download us at the gate. You'll find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google, as well as at www.goavant.net/podcast. Valerie, I'd like to welcome you to the podcast. Thank you for being here today. Our topic is contact center as a service. One of the things I wanted to start out with is we get into this whole alphabet soup in this industry. We've got UCaaS, Unified Communications as a Service, and we've got CCaaS, contact center as a service. Help me map out the differences between the two and the degree to which those two technologies are actually converging these days.
That's absolutely a great question. Well, the way I position this with customers is that the UCaaS is what you run your business on for anybody that is not necessarily completely customer facing. But the minute that you have an 800 number, the minute you have a service desk, the minute that your front door opens up to customers and they actually want to reach into you to ask questions and you actually want to have data on those conversations and those interactions with your customers, that's when the CCaaS starts coming in. But what we've seen in the market and what a lot of the unified communication portion comes in is the fact that that conversation will navigate from the UCaaS portion into the CCaaS and back into UCaaS if you want. What do I mean by that? I mean that the customer may call in, hit reception, I want to talk to somebody in sales, that may go into a sales desk, and then after that may go back out into the billing department. So what having an integrated suite enables you to do is actually see the whole customer journey from one end to the other, so you can actually guarantee a better customer service or a better interaction to your customers. And when we actually see the difference in between a UCaaS and CCaaS, UCaaS has a lot of basic functionalities that you can use. But once you actually want to see reporting and visibility and ensure a better interaction, that's when the CCaaS actually comes into play.
You know, it's interesting because that whole customer service aspect kind of gets a bad rap to a certain extent. You know, nobody really want from the perspective of the customer, the customer of the company that's using CCaaS, nobody really wants to make that call. It's usually something that's gone wrong. It sounds like there's a great deal at stake from a customer relations point of view as soon as that call is made. And in a large organization especially, but I think it also pertains to a wide variety of company sizes, you got a situation where you want to be able to do things as streamlined, as effectively as possible without, you know, having the person need to repeat the same message over and over and over again. What are you seeing there in terms of, you know, any customer sat feedback that you guys get at 8x8 regarding the use of these types of systems? Do they really help to solidify the customer relationship and sustain the relationship ongoing?
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference because when the customer's calling, it's important to know what they're calling about. And it's important to know also that they've called already maybe two times and they've spoken to different departments, and being able to be answered, "Good morning, Mr. Presti. I see that you're having an issue with your fridge this morning. How can I possibly help you?" This, first of all, will diffuse that customer that's calling in and may not necessarily be in the best of moods, but also enables the agent to not have to ask 15 questions to the customer, but to actually engage into what the customer is concerned about. So, because you're quite right, we'll chat on the side, but when we actually have to argue and we want to speak to somebody, we'll pick up that phone and call. So having the more information that you can, this is where, and knowing your customer journey is where we can truly help customers, because customers will want to have a self-service portion, but they'll also want to have somebody that's knowledgeable. And that's where the hybrid that we offer with 8x8, the fact that it's one communication suite, enables for the agent to be able to reach out to somebody in building really fast without having to transfer the customer, and having that complete customer service call with that angry customer that after that turns into a good customer. Because nowadays, we all know, somebody's upset with you, they're not just going to tell five people. They can tell a heck of a lot more people than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to go on social media and, you know, they can bash you there, which is never a pleasant experience. Put on for a moment your call center hat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, picture yourself as one of these people sitting at the desks fielding these calls. What are the features that you really, really want to have and that are really going to make a difference in your ability to serve this customer? What are the key things that you need to have at your disposal working properly and properly integrated with all the applications?
Well, definitely, definitely customer recognition, knowing who's calling and what kind of contacts they've had and how long they've been waiting, and being able to identify them, being able to have their account readily available, be able to have some suggestions on the screen as per why they would be calling and what questions they've had before, being able to have access to their complete file, being able to also know the sentiment of that caller, if they've been really, really upset recently, if their account is not doing well, all of that information being readily available at your fingertips when the call comes in is crucial to the agent. Being able to have that visibility, being able to actually identify them, that is what's really, really, really important. One thing that we actually offer through the application is being able to see where they went through in the IVR and what they've listened to. Because so often in my career, marketing will change something and change a message, but the communication doesn't always go. So offering the agent the capability of having a look at where the call went through, and if the customer says, "Well, I was listening to this offer and this and that, and I would like to participate in that offer," if the agent has no idea what that offer is, they lose credibility. And there's nothing worse than starting a conversation with a customer when you don't have full-on credibility with them. So that's the kind of tools that we offer our customers that enable the agents to be ready to take that interaction. So that's something that's very important. All of those together, which we offer on our platform, are really paramount for an agent to give good customer service.
Okay, let's kick it up a notch. Talking about the call routing capabilities. This is something that's always, you know, amazed me, because the whole selection process around who gets what call is one of those things that frankly amazes me. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to slice up that pie. Give me a little bit of a walkthrough on what call routing does and what some of the options are in terms of setting that up.
We only have 20 minutes. I could talk about this for hours. Well, it's evolved a lot in the last, I would say, it was stagnant for about 10 years. And in the last 10, it's evolved tremendously. And I will tell you honestly, the basic call routing is just verifying who's calling and bringing that call to the proper agent. But where we start seeing a lot more a lot more diversity and options for a customer is bringing AI ML inside of that call routing. And with the speech recognition and a portion of self-service, it enables the customers to actually navigate what used to be a awful IVR system, which would give you like press one for this, press two for that. And by the time you're done with pressing nine, you wouldn't remember what option one was. But nowadays, with the enhanced IVRs that we've got, where you, where the customer can just say, I have a question about billing, and it recognizes the customer, their account, what their question is, which department they need to speak to, which is the best agent, or the agent actually that dealt with their billing issue the last time. And then it actually tracks the whole thing and delivers that call to that agent. That is where you actually now evolve your systems to a point where it actually not only delivers the technology, but it delivers the proper call to the proper agent, which is really important. And actually setting that up, what I would have to say on that is you have to know your business before you start engaging a provider. Because the thing is, the provider will know the technology, will know the best practices, but you also need to know what you want to do with your callers. And you need to also know what kind of experience you want to give to your callers. And one of the things that I would say to those enterprise leaders out there is call your own numbers. Go through your own system, experience what your customers are experiencing, and that will open your eyes. Because I've spoken to hundreds of customers, and my first question to them is, have you ever called your own systems? And they're like, no, why? I'm like, call them. It's going to give you a very different point of view, and that will help you to help your provider design the proper experience you want to have.
I'm told that some of these AI applications can also detect if the caller is cranky. So they can route it to a higher level person who's maybe trained in dealing with angry people. You know, I mean, does it actually work that way? And if so, how? Is it the language? Is it scanning for obscenities or my tone of voice? Or how does that work?
Well, it's a multitude of different factors. But I will have to say that having deployed internationally, you have to be careful because in different countries, the tone of voice may change. So you've got to tune that tool to make sure that it recognizes. Because I deployed a customer recently in a European country that their natural language sounds angry all the time. And the tool was having a really hard time because they thought that the calls were escalating all the time. So it looks for intonation of voice. It looks for also words. So of course, if you're waiting on that line, but that means that you need to enable recording at the IVR level, because of course that means that you're listening in for words. And if that person is actually on the phone and they're not happy, then it can detect those words and all that. But you've got to be careful, because if somebody's on their cell phone in outside and there, it picks up other conversations. So you've got to be careful. I don't think the tools are quite perfect yet, but they've made great strides in the last, I would say, 5 to 6 years.
That's funny, because there's been so many times when I've been on one of these calls and it's like, representative. And, you know, I've said it like 3 times and I keep getting, you know, I just keep saying it stronger and stronger. And I'm wondering how that impacts the routing, you know.
Well, so I will give you
somebody to say, dude, chill out. You know, everything's going to be all right.
Well, I'll give you a little insider trick. There's a lot of companies that actually do not code that word. Or they will only code it after X amount of time to be actually transferred through. So it's the same thing as a lot of companies have removed the zero, the pound to get out of that IVR, because they want you to navigate through that system. So yeah, sometimes you may be screaming out for representative, but that word is not recognized.
Okay, so just between us, what is the word that I should use now?
I find the word issue, I have a problem, those words will actually prompt sometimes to actually go through easier. It's not all systems. A lot of systems, when you say speak to an agent, it will go through. Because keep in mind that different companies want to name the people that answer the call differently. So sometimes the words are not queued up to something that you may actually require.
Yeah, while you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, being here in my office at home saying, I have a problem over and over again. And my wife from downstairs yelling up, yes, you do. So there's all kinds of impacts there, aren't there?
And there's also accent and there's also language. They're realizing that if you look at about 10 years ago, what came out was a simple one version of English. Now, if you look, most systems will have 10, 15, 20 different versions of English because the vocabulary, the accent, the way people speak, you can't assume that the system will pick it up. Even me, I have a French accent in the background because I'm French Canadian. And if I start speaking and it doesn't recognize the fact that it's somebody from Canada, then it doesn't quite actually work. So a lot of those companies out there, you'll notice that now they're coming out with a multitude of different versions of English and French and Spanish, and now the tools are working much better than they were. Sorry. I digress.
That's good. That's good to know. That really is. And that's interesting because I also use some voice dictation software and I just set it up on a new PC the other day and I ran into the same thing. I mean, is it American English? Is it this sort of English? Is it English English? And all these different derivatives were there. So that was interesting. So it's good to see that sort of thing is really taking hold. Mm-hmm. So anyone in the enterprise decision maker community who's looking at CCaaS these days is going to run into two words at some point. One is omnichannel and the other is multi-channel. Walk me through the difference between those two, please. And if you're talking to if you look at me from the perspective of me being a customer, what are the things that I have to really think about in making those types of decisions about which way to go?
So it's kind of funny because depending on who you ask, the definition of this will vary and people interchange these all the time. So there's the difference in between being able to actually address calls, chats, and emails. And then there's the capability of actually doing all of those in the same platform. And there's then if you push it a little bit further than that, then you have the capability of actually doing all of these at the same time. So a lot of companies right now are doing the multi-channel, which is they're addressing all of those interactions separately. But what they truly want is being able to actually track all of these and do all of those on the same platform. So being able to do chat, email, SMS, social, while and also doing calls. Where it starts getting confusing though is for those enterprise leaders. Is how much of each can an agent take simultaneously, which you've got to be careful about. Depending on the nature of the work that you've got, I consult all the time with my customers on this because then they get this idea that they can do one call, three emails, and five chats. But then you've got to consider the quality of what will be coming out. Because the thing is, if right now you and I are having a conversation, how attentive am I going to be to that conversation if I've got to read three chats and actually do an email at the same time? Mm-hmm. So there's that very tight rope or that very fine line, if you want, where you've got to be careful as to what you're going to be offering and when and how your agents are actually going to be doing that omni-channel. But it is having it all on the same platform, which is what we offer at 8x8, does enhance the productivity and not only that, but that visibility we were talking about earlier. Being able to know that the customer reached out to you via email, via SMS, via chat, and now they're calling you because obviously they're escalating. So that is really important.
That's interesting. And because, one of the things I was wondering is to what extent do you see these use of all these different channels widely deployed? I'm more likely to call the company on the phone. Some people, maybe they text them. I don't know. Maybe I'll do email. Sometimes I'll use the bot, that sort of thing. is that pretty, has that become very widely deployed and very widely used, or are there specific media for reaching the company that are used more frequently than others?
Well, I apologize for saying this, the following answer. It's generational, and it also has to do with your customer base. So what I would say is, and we have a brand new factor in that equation, COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So prior to COVID-19, customers, you had a certain type of customer that wanted to open up to chat and to SMS and to all of those mediums. But there were few of them. So because they require a specific type of agent and so on and so forth. But what COVID-19 started pushing towards the enterprise customer is the fact that the thing is, a lot of them hadn't planned for a DR solution for their phones, and now they needed to open up a different medium for their customers to actually reach out to them. So as much as we were seeing it, but not that much in a lot of the customers that were coming to us in the last 4 months, I would have to say that it's the ones that were not quite interested at opening up those mediums. Now their eyes have been opened and they're realizing that, you know what, we actually have to start thinking about opening up chat and email and all that. But that comes with a different type of agent. The agent that is comfortable on the phone may not necessarily be comfortable writing up a chat or an SMS and so on and so forth, because like we all know, the written word stays. So that is that's a very different thing these days. But we're seeing it move. It's like video in contact centers. It was not there for the longest time, and now people are starting to consider it. 10 years ago, some of the studies were saying that voice was going to completely go away by 2020. Not quite. We still have a good 60 to 70% on voice. But I do think that in the next 3 years, the other mediums are going to get much higher earlier than anticipated.
You know, you brought up an interesting point, an especially interesting point a moment ago, and that is that the written word stays. Okay, mm-hmm. So if, because I was actually looking at it through the other end of the telescope, I'm thinking, okay, you would probably start out the newbie on, you know, some sort of a text thing, because they can look things up and they don't have to speak off the cuff. On the other hand, what they write is, I don't want to say it's a contract, but it's going to be viewed as such to certain people anyway. So you really have to be careful with that. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Where would you, you know, from your contact center experience, where would you start your newbies out? Would it be on more on the tech side or on the voice side?
I've got a different perspective on this.
Ooh, lay it on us. Go ahead.
So traditionally, people start. So traditionally, a lot of contact centers start on voice, and then you move on to other things because you get more knowledge and all that. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like we said, the written word stays. So the person that you've hired that may be really, really good on the phones, then you put them in email. And then it's all good and nice if you've got templates and all that kind of stuff. But if they actually have to freeform and they have to actually type themselves, that's a very different ballgame. Because the thing is, you might not have interviewed that person the same way. So when they interviewed with you, you didn't verify their grammar. You didn't verify how they were writing. You didn't verify like the vocabulary and all the tests that can come with it. So the thing is that person that may be great on the phone may be absolutely awful from a written form perspective. And that applies to SMS and text and social and chatting and email. So from my perspective, if you want to have a good customer service, I would actually hire specifically for that, because the thing is that a lot of people can be good on the phones, but not everybody is good in the written form. So if I was hiring right now for a contact center, I would actually have tests for my agents that would be coming in to verify how good their whatever language they speak, how good their written word is. first of all. And if I'm thinking about navigating somebody from the phone to those mediums, then I would test these agents too, because you can't just willy-nilly send them there and then after that having issues. Because listen, if you post on a company website answers on social media, guess what? You don't want to be the butt of jokes. You really mm-hmm. want to make sure that what has been answered represents your company. So that's where I would actually hire specifically for those mediums. Just personally, that's the way I would do it, or ensure that the person I'm transferring from the phone to that medium has those capabilities and that has that proper verbiage.
And that makes perfect sense to me, because the needs are different as you go from one to the other, and the talent and the ability to respond, I think, you know, and it's interesting because maybe it's a situation where, you know, it's less about experience, although experience always plays in, but it's more about where the specific skill sets are on the individual that dictates what part of the contact center they're sitting in. So that's an interesting thing to me. Let me ask you one more thing before we go. If I am an enterprise decision maker and I'm pondering the idea of moving from one CCaaS suite to another, or I'm looking at maybe even going to CCaaS for the first time, I've got something in place that I'm already using, and I'm getting a little bit twitchy about this whole conversion thing, because if my contact center goes down, that's got to be a big deal. What are the things that I need to look at in terms of working with the vendor and also with the trusted advisor to make sure that everything goes smoothly? What are the symptoms and what are the parameters that I should put in place in order to maximize the odds of success?
The first thing I normally suggest to customers is you don't want to do a big bang. You want to be able to actually transfer your traffic over slowly so that you can weed out if there's any issues whatsoever. One of the advantages of CCaaS, though, is that you can actually have your full-on production system and a test system at the same time. So you have the luxury of being able to actually try out that phone number, try out that whole IVR, and you can actually tweak it, and you can actually refine it, and you can actually put agents in the back of it. So so that's one of the advantages of CCaaS. When we've done migrations for customers, I usually will tell them, well, let's make sure that you've got all your phone numbers are aligned, all your messages are aligned, let's make sure that we've tested the platform correctly from one end to the other. And then let's start with a smaller department. Let's get that department rolling and get going. And then after that, we'll move all of your other services one at a time. The advantage also of doing that is with CCaaS, you don't necessarily have to have those two phones on the desk, because it can all be run by your computer and can make things easier for the agent. We also, when we want to do that cutover, and it's kind of funny because our customers are like, oh my God, it's way more seamless than it was with those big on-prem solutions, because it's more flexible. You can have readily access to making changes on the fly that are easy to do. So for that enterprise customer that wants to actually do that change, is that you actually have to look at change management also inside of your company. And we accompany them to actually do that transition, move a bunch of numbers. And then after that, once all that is rolling, then you move another one and another one and another one. And you also make sure, I'm a big proponent of doing those changes in a low volume day. So not at the beginning of your week, but towards the end of your week, so that you remove those pressures from the customer side where they're getting nervous. And because the thing is, they're used to seeing that big server room with all of that on-prem equipment. And sometimes they have that uncertainty when they're moving to CCaaS, because they can't really see and touch and feel the system. And they're like, how can this go live and still do testing? Because we give them that flexibility. And once we're done, you can actually see the relief in their eyes. And I've done so many of these, and they're like, that's it? I'm like, yep, that's it. We've just ported the number over. It's now rolling on our system, and you're done. You can start shutting off the other side. And that's one of the great things when accomplishments, sense of accomplishment when you're done with one of those transitions. So for that enterprise customer, I would say CCaaS is the easier, more friendly way of actually running your business, because you can actually move on a dime. And COVID-19 has shown that for all the customers that we have, and the customers that were hesitating, is that hosted is the way to go, because you can actually spin on a dime and you can make those changes and you can be up and running in no time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it's interesting because I spend a lot of time talking about technologies, and you can get, you know, really deep into the bits and bytes. But the thing about the CCaaS space is it's an interesting fusion of the technological and almost the sociological aspects of it, because there's so much of it that relates to, you know, to your relations with your customer. It's just a fascinating space. So Valerie S.B. Brousseau from 8x8, thank you very much for being our guest here today. Some very interesting insights on contact center as a service. We really appreciate your time and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Avant Technology Insights, featuring information and opinions on how key technologies can be leveraged to solve business problems. Avant Technology Insights is a service of Avant Communications, a platform for IT decision making. All opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guests and the host. For more information, please feel free to download our research reports and other resources at www.goavant.net. That's www.goavant.net. For Avant Research and Analytics, this is Ken Prestige.